This is our first year after Pesach, so we're doing sort of a post-Pesach roundup tonight. The shilas that rabbis get right after Pesach are always about, usually about, Chametz She'avar Alav HaPesach. Now, thank God most of the major grocery stores and things, it used to be like the shilas were the annoying kind. Is this store okay? Is that store okay? It's like, I don't know, ask Google the same way I will, you know? But now they've done a much better job publicizing the information. The shaila that I seem to be getting every year, and again it came up this year, I don't know if it's some sort of conspiracy that the Girl Scouts of America have against the Jewish people, but I every year someone comes and tells me that after Pesach he went back to his office after being away for Pesach, and sitting on his desk in his office is his delivery of Girl Scout cookies, because 2 months earlier his secretary's daughter was selling Girl Scout cookies, and he did the nice thing by paying a couple of bucks and buying Girl Scout cookies, and on Pesach they deliver the Girl Scout cookies. Is that a violation of Chametz She'avar Alav Pesach? May those cookies be eaten. A slight twist on that came up this year. Someone asked me the other night. He said that it wasn't an order of Girl Scout cookies, but he came back to his office after Pesach, and on his desk was a box of cookies. It was sent as a gift basket by one of his suppliers. I'm not sure what business he's in, but apparently it's a business that has suppliers. I assume a drug dealer. So as a gift basket from one of his suppliers, there was a box of cookies, a basket of cookies, on his desk. He wanted to know whether that is Chametz She'avar Alav HaPesach. A different related Chametz She'avar Alav HaPesach got last year, and again someone asked me again this year, Amazon Subscribe and Save. Did we discuss that one? Yeah, someone subscribes to the Amazon, if you decide that you want to have, we did a 10-minute halacha on it? Okay, so if you decide that you want to order, you always eat a box of Cheerios every month, so you subscribe on Amazon, and they don't even ask you. They just send you a box of Cheerios every month, and they just charge your credit card. What if it comes on Pesach? Another question that came up, this one didn't come up with me, but I saw in Chashuk Echemed in yesterday's Daf Yomi in Babasra, Rav Zilberstein says that the following shaila: Reuven has chametz, Reuven does not have a goy, and Pesach is coming, and Reuven doesn't know what to do with his chametz. So Reuven goes to his friend and he says, do me a favor, make a kinyan on this chametz. This is a couple of days before Pesach. Make a kinyan on this chametz on behalf of Shimon. Because my friend Shimon, he lives in a major Jewish community. I'm sure he's going to sell his chametz. So if you make a kinyan on behalf of Shimon, Shimon will become the owner of the chametz. Shimon will sell the chametz, and then we could avoid the whole issue of Chametz She'avar Alav HaPesach. One little detail, he forgot to tell Shimon about this. So, so can you be kona something for Shimon if Shimon's not there? What do you say? Can you be kona something for Shimon? Yeah, zachal adam shlova fanav. Why not? Who doesn't want nice, expensive chametz? So sure, the guy's kona for Shimon, even though Shimon is not there. But then, it turns out Shimon didn't sell his chametz that year, because Shimon decided he's going to clean out every morsel of chametz and he's going to destroy everything. He doesn't need to sell anything. So he didn't sell his chametz that year. Is this chametz a violation of Chametz She'avar Alav HaPesach? May one eat this chametz? That sounds like it's going to be the hardest one to be makel, because the rest are about a transaction where you're getting it from a non-Jew, so maybe I didn't really acquire it yet, maybe it's not really mine yet. Over here, it's either Reuven's or it's Shimon's. Whichever way you go, it seems like it's Chametz She'avar Alav HaPesach. I'll tell you, Rav Zilberstein was makel on that, so we'll have to see how in the world can you be makel on such a shaila. We'll throw in one more. Someone just told me tonight, and maybe you heard this story, I did not hear this story, that in Williamsburg this year, one of the goyim who bought the chametz insisted on Pesach. You heard this? Yeah? That he wants it. He wants the chametz on Pesach. And they didn't know what to do. They didn't want to give him the chametz. But he wanted the chametz. Yeah, so do you know the story? What happened?
I overheard two people talking about it.
You heard people talking about it? Okay, but so the way it was described to me is that they told the guy, come back Chol HaMoed, when people are in, came back Chol HaMoed, and he said, I want the chametz, I'm willing to pay for it, I want the chametz. And they had to like talk him out of it. They talked him out of it. I'd be very nervous if they talked him out of it. No? If they talk him out of it, what does that mean? It's really makes the whole sale very questionable. When I sell you something, it means it's yours. I can't talk you out of taking it. Well, what does that mean? You talk him out of it. So I don't know if that's what actually happened, but let's say that's what happened. Does that make all of their chametz shavalav haPesach now? You know, it happens to be the whole notion of mechiras chametz only comes up in Shulchan Aruch in the context of chametz shavalav haPesach. Right after the Shulchan Aruch says, as we talk memches, that you can't have chametz shavalav haPesach, chametz shavalav haPesach is also bana. It says, so what do you do? You know, if you have a guy to sell it to, you could sell it to a guy. Shulchan Aruch is not talking about like what we do. You know, it was talking about like you have an next door neighbor who's a guy. Go knock on his door and say, would you like this chametz? You know, bring over all your chametz. Say, would you like to buy this? And he'll buy it for whatever fair market value is. Rav Shechter, Rabbi Kamenetsky told me tonight that on Pesach, Rav Shechter was staying by Rav Shai, by his son, in Woodmere. And one day, in the middle of Pesach, Rabbi Kamenetsky said, he and his kids were just, you know, around the house. And in walks Rabbi and Rebbetzin Shechter to his house. They came over just to stomp shmooze. So Rabbi and Rebbetzin Shechter are sitting there. So the whole house like freezes. Oh my gosh. So, you know, they're sitting around the table. And Rav Shechter was telling him that every year on Purim time, his Talmidim would come over and other people would come and they'd bring in Shaluch Manos, and very often they'd bring a nice bottle of schnapps to the Rashim, to Rav Shechter. They'd bring him a nice bottle of schnapps. He doesn't drink it. He's not a big drinker. So what is he going to do? He's got all this chametz right before Pesach. So every year, he would knock on his next door neighbor's door in Washington Heights, who was certified card-carrying non-Jew, right? He's certainly no sveikus, right? So, and he would offer him, would you like to buy this schnapps? And every year, the guy would buy it. And then at the end of Pesach, Rav Shechter would go back and he would knock on the guy's door and say, would you like for me to buy it back? I don't have to, but if you want to sell it back to me, I'm happy to buy it back. And every year, he said, the guy had nothing left to sell back. He drank it all over the course of Pesach. And he said just a couple of years ago, the guy died of liver disease. He said, I mamish killed him. I killed my next door neighbor. So, so that's the mechira that the Shulchan Aruch talks about. Like, I'm actually doing a regular mechira. So, where does chametz shavalav Pesach come from? That, you look in the Torah, you don't find explicitly that if there was chametz, it's owned by a Jew on Pesach, that you're never allowed to eat it or get benefit from it after Pesach. The Mishnah tells us in Maseches Pesachim Daf Chav Ches, chametz shel nachri she'avar lav haPesach mutar b'hana. If it belonged to a guy, it was mutar b'hana. Thank God. If not for that, then mechiras chametz wouldn't work either. We wouldn't be able to get chametz anywhere after Pesach. The laws of the list of acceptable stores to buy it after Pesach would be very short. It would be zero, right? Everything would have to be freshly baked. No, but if it belongs to a guy, it's mutar b'hana. That is against the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds that any chametz that existed on Pesach, bein bereshuso shel Yisrael, bein bereshuso shel Nachri, is aser, dinda oraisa, not a dinda rabbanan. We don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds mida oraisa, chametz shavalav Pesach is mutter. Midrabbanan, they were machmir that we're not allowed to get hana from chametz shavalav Pesach. What would motivate such a din, the Rabbanan, to make such a din? What? It's a knas. Here, a Jew didn't observe the halacha properly. He was supposed to get rid of his chametz. He violated Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei. He owned his chametz. So they punish him. What kind of business is this? So they punish him that now he's not allowed to get any benefit from that chametz. So you would think, okay, so if it's a knas, then it should only apply if the person did it b'mezid, because you punish people who willfully do averos. You don't punish people for doing things b'shogeg. Nevertheless, the Rambam paskins in Perek Dalet of the Chametz Matzah, the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Simtav Memches, chametz shel Yisrael shavar lav haPesach is aser, whether it was b'mezid, whether it was b'shogeg, or even b'ones. Even if it was completely out of his control, there was no way. That's the Shulchan Aruch's psak. I'll read you the lashon in case you don't believe me. Shulchan Aruch says, "Chametz Yisrael, Chametz Yisrael, Shavu'ot Pesach, Aser Bana, Afilu Hinicho Shogeg O Anus." Even if you had to leave it there and you couldn't destroy it because of some onus happened, something beyond your control. Let's say, for example, someone asked me a number of years ago, they were making Aliyah, and they sent their lift to Eretz Yisrael, and it was supposed to arrive before Pesach. It didn't. It didn't arrive before Pesach. On the lift, somewhere in the middle of the ocean, he had all of his schnapps. So what do I do? What do I do about that? Can you sell that to a guy? The guy has access to it? No one has access to it. Meaning, if you sell it for the mechira, not to be a joke, he has to at least be able to have access to it. Okay, stam, that's a good shayla. But onus, complete onus, let's say there's nothing he could do about it. There was nothing he could do about it. Nevertheless, the Ram Shulchan Aruch say that it's still going to be aser. You know, if it is a knas, you would think, and Rabbeinu Manoach actually holds this way, we don't pass this way, Rabbeinu Manoach holds, since it's a knas, we only punish the guy who actually violated the aser. So if, let's say, you know, I want to buy in a grocery store that's owned by a Jew, by a non-religious Jew, and he had all of his, every item in the store is Chametz Shavuot Lav HaPesach, he's the one that violated the Yisr of Chametz Shavuot Lav HaPesach. I'm allowed to eat it. They don't know. So I didn't do anything wrong. Why should they punish me? I was very religious. The whole time that he was doing business, I was davening and learning and eating matzah and Ashkenazi matzahs and Sephardi matzahs. I was doing everything right. So why should I get punished? That's the Shita Rabbeinu Manoach.
The money that you give him is technically money that he's having
hanav. I'm helping him get hanav from it. Enoch Hanami, right. But let's say he were to give it as a matana or something. Now, why did they make this knas? So, like we said, pashup shot, so that you shouldn't, to punish someone who violated Bali Rav Bali Matzeh. What if you didn't violate Bali Rav Bali Matzeh? What if you did something wrong, but you didn't violate Bali Rav Bali Matzeh? What does that mean? What do you have to do with your chametz before Pesach? It's not a true question. What do you have to do with your chametz before Pesach? You got to get rid of it. Is that the only thing we do? We do beer, bittel. We do all that, right? Bedika beer, bittel. What takes care of Bali Rav Bali Matzeh? Oh. So, midaraisa, right? Well, either one. Bittel bial masagi, right? Midaraisa, if you just do bittel, that takes care of Bali Rav Bali Matzeh. Meaning your entire Pesach cleaning on a daraisa level involves saying, I am hereby mevatel mechametz. It is like the dirt of the earth to me. Done. Midaraisa. Midrabanan, bediko biyo. We got to go cleaning the house. Got to go looking for it. Got to go searching it out, and have to destroy it. But that's midrabanan. There is Yerushalmi in the second parak of Pesachim that tells us that shitas Rabbi Yochanan is that even if you did bittel, so you didn't violate Bali Rav Bali Matzeh. You did bittel, but you didn't do bediko biyo. Yerushalmi says chametz shavuot lav haPesach is a problem. Why? So the way the Rush explains is that we're choshesh that a person will say he was mevatel es chametz, but he won't, without having really been mevatel es chametz. Or the way the Meiri says in Magen Avos, maybe he really was, but not belev shalem. So we're concerned that a person is not going to really do it seriously, and therefore it's still going to be a problem with chametz shavuot lav haPesach. Mishnah Berurah therefore points out in Taf Mem Ches Sivkat and Tes, Mishnah Berurah writes, let's see if I have it here. Yeah, Mishnah Berurah writes, therefore, that's why even if it's an ones, it's a problem. Because it may not be something worth punishing, but you still have these gzeros that maybe you weren't serious enough or whatever. Maybe that's why even by ones, we're going to say it's a problem. Now, so what are our kulas over here? So let's talk about the onus issue. You know, let's say that, let's assume for argument's sake for a moment, that when they deliver me chametz on Pesach that I ordered, I become the owner of that chametz. Let's say, even though it's on my desk at work, I ordered it through Amazon Subscribe and Save, through Girl Scouts, I ordered it, they delivered it, they put it on my desk. Let's say, for argument's sake, that's enough to make me the owner of that chametz, right? We'll touch upon whether that's true or not. But let's say, for argument's sake, it is. It's enough to make me the owner of that chametz. Is there any kula? Is there any leniency to be had over here? Yeah.
When you're about to your chametz and Erev Pesach, when you made that.
But well, even if you did bittel, we paskin.
I'm saying, but at least...
And it wasn't even there yet. You were in Batul Chametz Erev Pesach.
Can you at least paid the money, so it's like maybe there's like...
I don't know. With paying the money, I don't think you're koneid yet. So there is a comment, a whole discussion, really, in the Mishnah Berurah, in Siman Taf Mem Ches Sivkat Tes. Mishnah Berurah quotes, writes, Kasav Beis Hillel, not the original Beis Hillel, the Achron, the Beis Hillel commentary on Shulchan Aruch, Tells the following story. Nishalti, the Beis Hillel says, I was asked al Yisrael Echad about a Jew, Shahilo Kodem Pesach Perechayim Shalnachri Dagan Litchon. He left in a non-Jewish owned mill grain. Nothing wrong with grain, right? It's not chametz. It wasn't. It's not even flour. Grain. V'nisakiv hadagan Perechayim Archal Amoy Shal Pesach. And the grain stayed in the non-Jewish owned mill throughout Pesach. The kasher igia yom zayin shel Pesach comes shvi shel Pesach, halach hanachri v'tachan adogin shel Yisrael. The guy sees that the Jew left his grain there, and no one's grounded and made flour out of it. No one's made a nice cake out of it, or made bread out of it. And he said, "I'm going to surprise my friend the Jew." So what does he do? He grinds the grain, he makes flour, he makes bread, he bakes it for the Jew, and he brings it to the Jew after Pesach. Here's your grain. So, can you be makel in that case? If it belonged to the Jew. There was never even a kinyan of transferring rishos, it belonged to the Jew. So pashtus, you would say, nothing you can do about that. The Jew's grain became chametz on Pesach. That's no good, right? Bein b'shogeg, bein b'ones, it's a problem. Says the Beis Hillel, I'm makel, he says. Ve'shafti shemutu likach adam balapas. First he says, you can let the guy keep the bread, but you can get payment for the bread. Why should that be? Okay, chamesh rav alav pasach zasar ba'anah. So he says, then, the Mishnah Berurah says, v'achok Yaakov hiskim demutur af ba'achila. Chak Yaakov says, not only do you get payment for the bread, take the bread and eat it, enjoy it. Why? So he says, very simple. You believe the guy that that's your bread, that that's your grain? There's all this kind of grain lying around the mill. He probably took some other grain. He ground the other grain also. And, you know, he's keeping cheshbon of which one is yours, which one is him. It's only a safik chametz ravelav pesach, safik rabbanu lekula. You can eat it. That's Chak Yaakov. Comes along the Mishnah Brura and says, in the name of the Beis Meir, Ube Beis Meir mitzad da'at ba'achila mitam acher. And this is the key. He says another reason why it would be mutter. Di'afal gav de pasuk ha-mechaber de'bein b'shogig bein ba'ones. Even though the mechaber says that even if it was only an ones, it's still mutter, it's still aser. Lav kol onsim shavim. Not every ones is the same. Some things are out of your control, but, you know, really, 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 it's not so unheard of. It's not so out of the ordinary. Something you could have at least thought of possibly happening. But an ones kazeh, lo ha-yochol klal ha-sukei ha-daitei she-yavah-akum me-kim chol-chametz bevadei. So bevadei lo kansu-cham. You never would have, who in the right mind is going to think, the grain I left there, a guy is going to pick it up, grind it, make old bread out of it. I never in a million years would have thought that someone's going to do that. So that's an ones gamur, very similar to what we have in Bava Kama, right? That an adam is more the olam, an adam amazik, bein ba'ones, bein. But ones gamur, Yerushalmi, Tosos, ones gamur, then I'm pater. So this is ones gamur, and ones gamur is this is a significant kula. You know, take the case of the Girl Scout cookies, right? I have a hard time calling that an ones gamur. Why is that not an ones gamur? How's he supposed to know the Girl Scout cookies are going to be delivered? Because he ordered them. Okay, granted, it's not the first thing on his mind. You know, he was viewing it as a chesed to a little girl. He wasn't thinking of it as buying cookies. So he's not thinking every day, when are those cookies going to get here already? I want those cookies. I'm starving. Right? Probably he's not thinking like that. So he's not thinking about the cookies. But still, it's not like, oh, out of left field, oh, cookies, whoever would have thought of it. But the case that I was asked this year of the guy who got the surprise gift basket from the supplier, that's l'chora ones gamur. The supplier is all of a sudden going to, he never sent me cookies before. I never ordered them, never asked for them, he never sent them. L'chora, we could be makel over there based on ones gamur, based on the notion that it's known as gamur. Yeah. Even
Bachil?
Yeah, to be Mekel means to be Mekel. Rav Zilberstein used that to be Mekel in the case of Reuven and Shimon. Right? Reuven had this chametz and he was maknit, he got someone to be koneh for Shimon. How is Shimon supposed to realize that he owns chametz? So that some guy is deciding that I should be the proud owner of all of this chametz without even asking me? That's mamash nonas gavli. He has no way of knowing about that. So the Zubasin thinks the kinyan works, that it is called zachan lad mishlo b'fadav. It belonged to Shimon, but it's onas gavli, and therefore it's not chametz over lava pesach. But that doesn't help us in the Girl Scout case. It doesn't help us in the Amazon subscribe to safe case. It certainly doesn't help us in the Williamsburg case. A question? That's what I was saying. He assumes Zachan Ladim Shalom B'Fanav. I don't know. On Erev Pesach, someone brings in. Think of your mother's cleaning before Pesach, and someone brings in like a pizza on Erev Pesach, right, to the kitchen. So the look on her face will not be a Zachan Ladim Shalom. You know, it's not a look of wow, my lucky day. Right, it's a look of get that out of here. Right, she'll be seized with a charada gedola. Get that out of here. That doesn't belong here. I don't want that. That's not a. It's hard to call that a zuchus. Okay, but maybe a week before Pesach, a few days before Pesach, still usable. A few days before Pesach when there's nothing to eat in the house. Like, how could one of my children is like, just buy Pesach snacks. I don't care. I just want snacks. I just want something to eat. You can eat Pesach snacks before Pesach? Yes, because I'm starving. So maybe at that time it is still somewhat of a zuchus for the person.
But it's not, in this case, he's not even there. if you're next door neighbors and you bring over stuff,
right, in a chinami, right, he's not even taking possession of it. I hear you. Now let's discuss though. Do you become the owner when it gets delivered and lands on your desk on Pesach? Do you become the owner of it? So another halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Tav Memches, Sif Beis, Im Eino Yehudi Mevi Li Yisrael Doron Chametz B'Yom Achron Shel Pesach. A guy surprises you, a gift. On Yom Achron Shel Pesach, someone once asked me, they invited someone not religious, a non-religious co-worker, to come for Pesach, and they came together with someone who, with their spouse or girlfriend or whatever, who knew even less than they did, and they brought something that was chametz, a gift on Pesach. Okay, so someone brings to you a doron. Is it a co-worker? Oh no, it was a guy told me his father. A guy told me his father... His father was remarried to a woman. The woman didn't know. She, whatever. Okay. Imenu Yehudi maybe he saw Dorun Chametz B'Machron Shel Pesach. He brings you a gift on the last day of Pesach. Mishmur already points out it doesn't have to be the last day of Pesach. It's a chiddush that even though it's a day that's only mid Rabbanan, you still have to be concerned about this. Even though it's Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios. So what do? Lo Yikablenu Yisrael. You can't accept it. And you can't make it recognizable that you're interested in it. And then it's okay. And it's best to say, I don't want my chatzar to even be kona for me. Mishmur points out you don't have to say that because your chatzar won't be kona if you don't want it to be kona for you. It's not going to be kona shalom idaito. But it sounds from the Shulchan Aruch, it's being left in your rishus. But you have to say, I don't want it. Or you should say, I don't want it. You should not be makabalit. Don't do anything to actively be makabalit. And don't do anything that shows that you're interested in being makabalit. Just hands off. Right? Not interested. The person will leave it in your rishus. Then it won't be a problem of chametz over lava pesach. Have you met that criteria with the Girl Scout cookies? Have you done anything that shows that you want it on Pesach? You pay for them 2 months earlier. Have you done anything on Pesach that shows that you want? No. Have you been mekabel them? No, you weren't there. So when I mentioned the Shalat Rabbi Marcus this morning, he said, Pashut, it's fine. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. You didn't show that you want to be mekabelit. You didn't show that you wanted it in any way. Pashut, it should be fine. I'm still not convinced, though. The Shulchan Aruch specifically says a case that a guy brings you a gift, meaning your point. Over here, the guy didn't bring you a gift. You bought it. You paid for it. It could be, I didn't see this in post, I didn't really look around that much. It could be that, yeah, when is it enough to just not show that I want it? To just not say that I'm interested in it? To not take possession of it? That's when it came out of left field, that the guy just bought me a gift. But if I bought it, I paid for it, then I better do more than just not act positively toward it. I better do something proactively negative toward it to show that I'm really not interested in it. And if I didn't do that, then maybe that's still a problem. Which would mean the Amazon subscribe and save that gets delivered on Pesach L'chor is a problem. I think Rav Schechter thought that it was a problem, the Amazon subscribe and save that comes on Pesach. And the Girl Scout cookies, L'chorah, would then be a problem. The gift, again, the gift that came from someone, L'chorah is not a problem now for two reasons. That A, it's an ones, and B, you never said that you wanted it and you never were mekabelit, you never showed that you were chafetz bo on Pesach. So that L'chorah is really, we're really okay in terms of that. Now, before we finish, just a couple of important things about Chametz Shavuot Lav Pesach in general. You know, you always hear these controversies about these are the stores that are acceptable, these are the stores that are not acceptable, and these are the stores that some people say yes and some people say no. So what's the story with those stores, right? Are they owned by a Jew or are they not owned by a Jew? You know, like what's the deal? So there could be a number of issues. Like for example, in where I live, I live just outside the Five Towns. In the Five Towns community, there are all the Vad stores obviously sell their chametz and don't sell any chametz on Pesach. Those are all perfectly fine. Most of the major supermarkets are totally fine. There's a liquor store on Rockaway Turnpike, I think, that's owned by a Jew, doesn't sell his chametz, and l'chora that liquor's been there for years and years and years. So even if he does sell his chametz, you're going to have problems because that stuff lasts forever. So because he didn't sell his chametz last Pesach, so whatever. So that's a problematic issue. But then, like Target, the email that went out in all the shuls gave a whole list of what's okay, and then Target had like an asterisk next to it, and it said the Star K says it's not okay, but the Chaf K says it is okay. Okay, so what's the story? So is Target owned by a Jew? Who's it owned by? So Target's a publicly traded company, so it's not owned by anybody. So that alone is a shaila. What if you have a publicly traded company? So a Jew must own a share in Target. There must be a Jew somewhere that owns a share in Target, right? So it's got to be so how do you view that? So there are different shittos and poskim. Some of the poskim assume it's a giant shutfus. There are thousands of partners in this company. If that's the case, if there's a significant enough Jewish partnership, it would be a problem. It would also mean that you can't own stock in a company that owns chametz and Pesach because it's a giant shutfus. So you wouldn't be allowed to own stock in Target. You wouldn't be allowed to own stock in whatever Stella Dory or Entenmann's or whatever, anything. I don't even know if those are publicly traded companies. You wouldn't be allowed to own stock in anything that has chametz. That would be a significant chumrah. Others say that no, legally, it's not really a shutfus. That's why the business can go bankrupt and my personal assets are fully protected. Even without bankruptcy, the business could have debts, and my personal assets are fully protected. Why are my personal assets fully protected? Because that's not me. I invested in it, but that's a corporation. Corporation is neither a Jew nor a non-Jew. It is a separate entity. Major nafkaminas. Am I allowed to own stock in it over Pesach? Is it chametz shavur lav Pesach? If it's owned by a Jew, it's chametz shavur lav Pesach. If it's owned by nothing, by a corporation, it's not chametz shavur lav Pesach. Rav Schechter often points out, let's say you buy your dishes, your forks, your knives, your glasses from a publicly traded company. Do you have to do tefilas kelim? You only have to do tefilas kelim when you buy something from a guy. You buy something from a publicly traded company, you didn't buy it from a guy. So maybe you wouldn't have to do tefilas kelim on such a thing. Rav Schechter wouldn't do tefilas kelim, certainly wouldn't say a bracha on such a thing. Well, I mean, if it's bought from a company that's not a publicly traded company, he would say a bracha. There are other kulas as well with publicly traded companies. There's the notion of breira. Some of the poskim say, some of the stock is owned by Jews, some by non-Jews. So the box of Cheerios that I'm buying from Target was the box that was owned by the non-Jewish partners. Hover adavar, you rely on breira that the boxes that get sold to other people, those were the boxes that were owned by Jewish partners. Another kula might be, if many poskim hold that a minority share in a company is not a violation of Chametz Shavuot of Pesach to begin with, that a Jew can own a minority share in the company. So if Jews own a minority of the stock in Target, so it's no problem. It's not Chametz Shavuot of Pesach, it's no problem. Another tzad dekula, there were shittos in poskim, the She'ilas David or Chaim Simon Hay, that the knas of Chametz Shavuot of Pesach was only made on observant Jews. But a non-observant Jew, they never made a knas. What? Chote niskar? You benefit from not being non-observant? Yeah, very simple. Why did Chazal make this knas of Chametz Shavuot of Pesach? What were they intending to accomplish? Stam, they were thinking, how could we punish the Jews today? No, they were trying to discourage us from violating Bali Rabbi Matzah. What if you have a person who it will not move him a single bit? He's going to violate Bali Rabbi Matzah if you tell him yes, if you tell him no, if you ignore him, it doesn't matter. He doesn't care. He's doing everything anyway. So then there's no point of the knas. The Chazal never made a knas on them. That is a very big chiddush, a very, very big chiddush. I don't think we would rely on that, but at least as a sniff lahakel. Another point to take into account. So Target, publicly traded company, mostly Goyim, you don't have to worry about it. So why is it iffy? Why is Target the stores? I think Target and Stop and Shop, that's machlokes. Because here's what happens. The supplier of Target, their grocery supplier is a company called CNS, and they are a Jewish-owned company. Okay? So they do a mechiras chametz. It's a Jewish-owned company, but they do a mechiras chametz. Problem is, they do mechiras chametz and then continue to do business on Pesach with all that chametz. So, kind of mechira. I'm selling you all of my chametz, and I'm also selling it to all 1,000 stores throughout the country, and I'm delivering it on my trucks to the thousands. What? I thought you sold it to a guy. It's not yours. So if Soloveitchik said, and the Stechemer, I think, writes this, the mechira is a joke. That's not a mechira. You can't sell chametz and then turn around and then continue to sell it to other people. But if Moshe writes in the tshuva, mechira is not a joke. They're just ganavim. Meaning they sold the chametz to a guy, and now they're ganavim. Now they're stealing from the guy and selling it to everybody else. But the mechira is not a joke. Mechira is a perfectly good mechira. But even Rav Moshe points out, yeah, the mechira is a perfectly good mechira, but what about the new chametz that they're buying throughout Pesach? Because they continue to do business. Nah, you're stuck over there. What do you do with the new chametz that they're buying on Pesach? So even if you make it like Rav Moshe, you're still going to have problems with Target. That's what it used to be. The reason the Chaf Kei says it's okay, says that it's not a problem, and the reason I think probably Maker Adin is really not a problem, is they don't do a typical Mechiras Chametz. What they do is what the Aruch HaShulchan recommends to do in this case. The Aruch HaShulchan says, don't sell the Chametz, sell the business. Sell the business to a guy. The whole business will belong to a guy for Pesach. That's what they do now. They sell the part of the business that buys chametz. So they sell the business to a guy. If that's the case, then it's the guy's business, the whole Pesach. So it's not that I'm doing business. Oh, so that, and that's a very commonly utilized mechanism. I just got a call tonight. Unfortunately, someone from my shul is about to start sitting shiva, the levaya for his father's tomorrow, and he told me that the rabbi of his parents' shul is coming over to their house right now with the shtaros. What shtaros? What kind of shtar do you need to sit shiva? He said, well, I'm a lawyer and I have my own firm, so he's coming over so I could sell my business to a guy for shiva, because he's not allowed to do business during shiva. I mean, my firm is going to still be going. I don't know, maybe I'm young. As far as a rabbi, I have a young shul, but thank God I haven't had to deal with this that many times. I never heard of that. I didn't know that they do that. It makes sense, I guess. Or, for example, I was in the OU office the other week, sitting with Rav Schachter, and, listening to all the shilas he was being asked, which is the coolest thing ever to watch happen. But he was, someone called up. They own a hotel in Memphis. Not a from hotel, but a from person owns the hotel. There's nothing Jewish about the hotel, no Jewish clients or anything, or that they know of. And it's, let's say, I don't remember what the parent company is. It's like a Marriott, let's say. And in their contract with Marriott, it says that they have to serve a continental breakfast in order to maintain whatever, 3 stars or 4 stars or whatever they are. One of the services that they have to offer is a continental breakfast in the morning, cookies and coffee in the afternoon. They don't sell it. It's free. It's continental breakfast. So the guy wanted to know, Pesach is coming. What do I do about that? So what, you're going to sell the chametz? That's not going to help. Because you can't sell the chametz, then continue to serve it to your customers. You can't sell the chametz and continue to buy more of it. So Shach said, you got to sell the business. You got to sell the hotel. And it's not even like, you can't even sell like a part of the hotel, because the food services is not a part of the business. That's just something you give for free to the customers. So you got to sell the hotel. So he said, Mistami, you have a shtar ready for Shabbos. So whatever shtar you use for Shabbos, use that for Pesach as well. So the guy's like, what? Shtar for Shabbos? He didn't have a shtar for Shabbos, but now he does. I spoke to the guy, he got it taken care of. He called him Nata Greenblatt, who's in Memphis. And for some reason, Nata sent him to a rabbi in New York, but he got it all taken care of.
You contract out the food service for a week?
You contract out the food service, but it's not a business.
It doesn't matter. So you tell the joint, for this week, you own the food, and I'll pay you.
You own the food, that means you're paying for your... Well, you're not paying.
No, you tell the guy, for this week, you're the one...
You're the one that has to buy it and give it and distribute it. And what? And I'll pay you a salary for buying it and distributing it. Maybe something like that would work. Maybe something like that would work. Anyway, that's a basic rundown. Did we answer all the questions, all the shadows that we started with? More or less. Okay, so that's a basic rundown of Chametz Shavuot of Pesach. I'm not sure about next week. Next week I may not be able to give a shiur. I have to give a shiur, I think, till 10 o'clock in Woodmere, so I don't think I can make it here by 10:10. Some or not, right? Okay, so if I want to start 10 minutes later, I'm fine with that. But I'm afraid we'll lose the crowd if I do that. No, it'll be okay.